I am from beyond. Listen, and all you desire will be yours. Welcome to Spider-Dan and the Secret Wars. Prepare for battle.
Choose a side in a Clone Wars.
Welcome to Prattle World. I am your host, the ever-amazing, ever-spectacular Spider Dan. And in this podcast, I spotlight entertainment's best-kept secrets that a mainstream audience may find boring. And welcome to Clone Wars, where two similar pieces of media clash to be crowned champion. Two go in, and only one comes out. And we are back. Myself and Dennis, the denizen of the comic den, is back. No longer denizen of the comic den.
Stop.
Sorry.
It. It's too soon.
It's too soon. The comic shop is gone. Oh my gosh, financial collapse, bankruptcy. No, none of those things. No.
I just closed it.
He just sold it. He just sold it. Yeah. Because the caravan was a better idea, and it was. It was. Caravan is very nice, by the way.
Thank you.
I just wish
you wouldn't shine a light on my failures.
You're not a failure, Dennis. You're not a failure. You made a better choice for you and your family. And that's more important than having a comic book shop.
So you're saying
that I ever so often visited.
So you're saying that I put my family before comics?
I mean, no and yes, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
know. Nah.
I'll do it, money. No. Carry on.
But Dennis is back, and we're going to do something a little bit different with the Clone Wars this time, because usually I compare two similar movies. Dennis has been on one. We did the Dracula one a while back. I think that was the last Clone Wars we did. A very popular episode, and one I really enjoyed as well. The Spanish version of Dracula and the Bela Lugosi English version of Dracula. It was really good.
English, probably.
I guess you could call it English. American.
Is that a language?
Yeah, probably. Someone will argue, I'm speaking American, I'm sure. Going back to... We always go off topic. We always have tangents. We always try to tell people what we're doing, and then you're always like, what are we doing? Something else. So we're going to actually compare. We're talking slashers again. The last time we were together to talk slashers, and we're talking the two classic slasher villains. We're talking Freddy, and we're talking Jason. It's Freddy versus Jason, but... This time, it's a comic book edition.
Dun, 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 dun.
So I have forked out a lot of money to get two very out-of-print books for my and Dennis's pleasure. I've got the Nightmare on Elm Street book, graphic novel, and the Friday the 13th graphic novel. These were both produced by Wildstorm Entertainment when they had the New Line Entertainment's House of Horror license. So this also includes the 2003 Texas Chainsaw Massacre comic, which I also own, but it's not as good as the title as Freddy vs. Jason vs. Leatherface. It's just not a good...
Versus the Texan Chainsaw Massacre.
Anyway, so our reasons for comparison are that these comics were both released by Wildstorm within a year of each other. So Freddy came first, then Jason. And like I said, both licensed by New Line Entertainment's House of Horror license. These are both written by top-tier comic book writers, so they're big names that you will recognise. And both of these series had a pseudo-sequel in the Freddy versus Jason versus Ash comics, when Wildstorm and Dynamite Entertainment teamed up to produce the comic when the movie script was rejected.
Amazeballs.
I would really like to read those, but guess what?
Out of print.
They're out of print and fucking well expensive.
Yeah, tends to be.
These were like 30, 40 quid on their own, which is a lot for a comic, even for me.
Not a lot for a comic for me.
No, probably not. Not for you and the various first appearances you have. But for me, I felt it was a little pricey. But when I looked for those, they were about £800.
£800
for either the single issues or a graphic novel, or I think it was more for the graphic novel than the single issues, but still... ridiculously expensive.
First appearance of Deadman 600.
There you go. I would rather have that.
Yeah, me too.
I would rather have that than that. But I get why people want to read it. I get why it's out of print. It just happens. These kind of books happen. But when lockdown happened, I bought a ton of these kind of like films. Basically, I wanted comics that were based on cult films. And I'm definitely going to do some more coming up about in these podcasts. I'm going to look at all sorts of different cult films that I've bought. I've even bought a couple more recently. Two of the Highlander comics. I need to kind of go back to that franchise, I think, because I've not really touched Highlander for a very long time.
There can only be one, you know, seven movies, TV series, two TV series, cat animated series, loads of comic books. But there can only be one.
There can only be one.
Only
still,
one.
Still one. I think that's the main problem with the Highlander franchise as well, is that main conceit.
Yeah, franchise means multiple.
Yeah, exactly. You've sold.
Just the one.
It's finished. Well, yeah. Luckily, those books are prequels anyway to the first film. So it's fine. It's fine. But I've got loads of those. I've got Scarface comics. I've got Total Recall comics. I've got The Howling comic. Hellraiser, Lost Boys. You name it. I've got loads, either digitally or physically. I've even got a few weird ones written by celebrities that I bought during lockdown because I was like, I'm not spending my money on anything else. Not on, you know, hookers and beer or anything. I might as well just get loads of comics. So that's exactly what I did. So that's why I got these.
And a better investment than hookers and beer.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Last longer.
Well, these are a gift to you, Dennis, because we both finished reading them. I said you could have them. So you can take them home with you tonight. But first of all, let's just get into it.
Cause I love you.
Don't worry. Well, you're also wearing your gift that I gave you. I got Dennis. You won't see it, obviously. This is audio. But Dennis, I bought him it's a Freddy versus Jason t-shirt, but it is based on the comic book 181, Incredible Hulk 181, which is the first appearance of Wolverine. And it's a recreation of that cover. And also in the background features Mr. Michael Myers, the Shape, who is playing the part of the Wendigo on that cover. But it's a lovely t-shirt. And Dennis has not taken it off since I bought it him.
Yeah, pretty much so.
It was a very late Christmas present, since the other Christmas present didn't arrive because I put the wrong the wrong address on it. And what happened is it went to the wrong address and there's nobody at that address, so it got sent back. And then the company said, oh, by the way, if you put the wrong address on it, we don't refund you. Bye. So I lost out on £35. Oh, well.
I think I'd like this more than the other one.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad.
This is my favourite T-shirt in the world.
In the world. He's looking after it.
I have done everything in it.
Oh, my.
Literally everything.
Even murder. Even slashy murders.
I've had a slash in it and everything.
You've had a slash in it.
Yeah. It's literally... my favourite T-shirt in the whole wide world.
I'm glad you like it, because I know you've had a little tough time at the moment with stuff, and I'm glad I could bring some happiness to you.
More than happiness.
More than happiness.
I got a twinge and everything.
Pure ecstasy.
Yeah, which is, again, difficult for me at the moment.
Anyway, enough of this. Freddy versus Jason. So Nightmare on Elm Street, the comic, is written by Chuck Dixon. And who is the artist, Dennis? Because you've got it in front of you.
Penciler Kevin West.
Kevin West.
Inker Bob Allman. Mm-hmm. With the covers by various different people.
All right.
Including the very talented and very nice Ben Oliver.
Oh, have you met Ben Oliver?
Yeah, Ben Oliver's great. He's very good at doing portraits type stuff. Okay. So. You'll see a lot of his stuff on DC at the moment. He's doing a lot of portrait stuff.
Excellent stuff. So tell me a little bit about Nightmare on Elm Street. Now, this book is missing some issues. I think it's 2 issues. I think it's 4 and 8, I believe, are missing from it. But those apparently are kind of one-off issues and are kind of just exploring the kind of dream world that Freddy lives in and not a what you would call a regular Nightmare on Elm Street tale. But there are 2 stories in this book. So tell us a little bit about the first story.
No.
Okay.
How are we comparing them?
How are we comparing them? Yes. Okay, you are correct, Dennis, because this is a little bit different from the movie ones, because usually I'm like, the writing, the directing, the cinematography, the acting, the music, you know, all that sort of stuff. But this time we're only going to compare them in 3 different ways. So writing, the art, and how good an adaptation these comics are of the franchise they are based on.
I'm just laughing because what a podcast it would be. Guest. No.
No.
Nah.
Nothing.
Nothing at all.
I've got nothing to say about this.
Nothing at all.
Yeah, great interviews, great podcast material.
So what
was the plot of the first story, which I think is called Freddy's War?
It's a typical Nightmare on Elm Street. It's female, being, well, street being terrorized.
Teenagers. Falling asleep, dying in their sleep.
It's a little bit like as kind of Dream Warrior, Friday 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street. Nightmare.
Don't get confused already.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yes.
Three Dream Warriors bringing people into the dreams.
Mm. Fighting Freddy.
Yeah, fighting, you know, machine trying to, guns.
Yeah, explosions. Imagining things. Yeah.
Very strong female lead. Mm. Lots of gore. Freddy looks great. Mm-hmm. I think the art on him looks great, the detail on his face.
So yeah, it's a new family. It's a new family that have moved to Elm Street. They're not really aware of the history of Freddy.
Which is weird.
It's kind of, but it does. I like the police officer who turns up in both books and is like, you've never worked here before, have you, pal? This is like on the beat officer, and he's like, no, and he's like, well, you'll see a lot of weird shit down the street.
Springwood is what it is.
Yeah,
you know, it's
Springwood.
Is yeah, what it, nothing's ever cut and dry here.
Yeah, exactly.
Cut and dry.
There are some puns. There's definitely gonna be some puns. But so it's a new family. It's army brats and army dad, and they moved around a bit, so they've had some trouble fitting in and problems, and obviously they're having nightmares about a strange maniac, and then everyone realizes they're having dreams about the same one. But there's kind of quite a nice relationship. I won't name the characters because I can't remember them and I can't be arsed looking them up. But let's just call the brother, the sister, and the dad are the main characters.
Yeah.
So the brother and the sister have this kind of bratty kind of, relationship. She even calls him, I think his name's Bradley, and she calls him Bratley. And they're having a difficult time, and then they start school. She's dreaming about, like, you know, wetting herself or being naked in school, like during a test, you know, that sort of thing. And her brother, who I think they're are they twins?
Yes.
They're twins.
Yeah.
And they kind of almost share the same dream.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that this happens in both stories in the book. And she sees Freddy murder him, and then he wakes up and he's just splattered.
It is
everywhere.
A big splatter, isn't it?
It's very much like, I've been rewatching the Nightmare on Elm Street films just to familiarise myself with the franchise and stuff. My favourite line in the first one is, "You don't need a stretcher, you need a mop." That's my favourite line.
Yeah, he does like a bit of slash, doesn't he?
He does. It covers the walls. Blood everywhere.
You're never going to get that with Pledge.
No. So then she's struggling with this. She's kind of investigating and learning about it. She does learn about it. And then I think one of her friends gets murdered, I think. And then she's in a, it looks like she's murdered her. You know, the police officers think that. The dad's like, just talk to me, explain it to me. I want to be there for you. And then the dad kind of takes it on board, you know, this totally unrealistic concept of the dream killer and all this sort of stuff. And he starts talking about, like, how he, in the army, he would, like, go into, like, a mental state and they do, like, this kind of, these dreams or meditation type things. It would take them and they kind of, it was all about the mental strength as opposed to, like, the physical strength. They have to do this conditioning. And then he goes into the dream with her to protect her and to look after her. And then he creates all this. He's like, I'm going to prepare the battlefield. I'm going to bring in all the guns and stuff.
It's so, like Nam, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like proper like war. There's like, you know, there's a battlefield. There's like, he's dropping bombs. There's a minefield for Freddy to navigate. All that sort
bazooka,
of stuff.
Bazooka, machine
bazooka.
Guns.
And then she's pulling guns from like video games she's played. And then he's got like the M60 machine gun, which is the one like Rambo has, and the one, the like helicopters and stuff. And she's like, that's from Rambo, isn't it? And he's like, yeah, sure it is. Because obviously he's been in the army and knows what it's called and stuff. And she's got like laser guns and things, which is quite fun. It's very imaginative. And I like that they've Dixon's taken that main idea of the dream world and again is expanding that and doing stuff that might be too expensive in, you know, a low budget horror film. Like they've taken that general idea and that general concept and just gone, right, let's go whole hog with this. Go mental. But yeah, it kind of reminds me, it's a little bit Inception-y, a little bit.
Yeah,
it's a little bit Inception-y, but which is not a bad thing. Just keep running, just keep shooting. It doesn't make sense. the kind of action element of Inception. But yeah, I liked it. I enjoyed it. It was fun. It's quick. It's pacey. it doesn't hang around. It knows that you're aware of what yes. Nightmare on Elm Street is. Like it knows that you know what it. You wouldn't buy this if you didn't know what you were buying. You would go, right, oh, Nightmare on Elm Street, I love that movie. Let's see what the comic's like. That's the whole point of licensed titles. And I think it does that. It doesn't like say, well, this is Freddy. And it tells you in like one short paragraph or one short page where it's like, this is Freddy. This is what happened. This is what he does. On with the adventure, on with the story. It doesn't stick around. Does it hold, you know, it doesn't hold your hand either.
No.
It just like, here we go, three issues, full on, here we go, have some fun. And that's what it does.
Yeah. I think the second story, because there's two stories in the book.
That's right.
The second story, for me, is far more fantasy.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's far more kind of out there. And we said about the kind of, about what Freddy is, you know, they explain it over four pages, but he's chasing someone at the same time.
Yes, yes.
So it's not kind of like an origin story. Yes. It's just like saying he was this, he did that, he did the other. But at the same time, he's chasing this on this student.
Yeah, so you've got the action, you know, juxtaposed to the exposition. So it's not just like, hey, let me tell you about Freddy. It's like it makes the action moves and the dialogue moves. It's all snappy and pacey and quick and fun, and you never lose that sense of right. Next page. Yeah.
And
right.
it's quite funny in places too. I think, you know, the fact Freddy still has the little quips and they work.
Yeah.
You know, like in the second story, he's wearing like a skin suit.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Saying, you know, it's a. He brings a whole new style to fashion victim, you know, and he's like, you know, two heads on it kind of stuff. So it still has those little quips as kind of like when the Nightmare on Elm Street movie.
He also he does call people bitches.
He does call people.
He likes to call people
like bitch. You're my bitch.
Oh, bitch.
Yeah. And the second book's got my favorite death in it.
Okay.
The guy on a skateboard doing a little trick and cuts him in half.
Yes, he does, yeah.
Which I'd like a lot because it's like, how sharp are his knives?
Yeah.
And this is how sharp they are.
Completely cut in half. I love that he's studying like French.
Yes.
And then he's like when he gets cut in half, he says something like, I don't know how you say history in French, but it's like your history, you know, and then cuts him in half. Yeah. I love that.
But in that, it's fancy because you got the Aztec stuff in it. You got the monster,
stuff. So the second story, not sure what it's called. I'll just have a quick gander. I've got the books in front of us.
Demon.
I believe so. I'm just going to check. It's called The Demon of Sleep. Mm. Very close, Dennis. The Demon of Sleep. So this group of high schoolers are like the kind of the mathletes, the kind of the brains, the kind of the nerds, the dorks.
They're not the jocks, are they?
No, they're not the jocks. They're the big brains and the kind of, yeah. So it's almost, and they talk about Freddy going between social groups and going for different social groups, which is an interesting idea in itself, being in a high school and stuff. And they're all having the same dream. They realize and they talk about it. They know the legend of Freddy. They know all the kind of, you know. And again, like you said, they explain it quite quickly and get it out of the way. And then they're into the action. And one of these kids comes up with the idea of offering a sacrifice to this demon.
Yeah.
This Aztec demon who would protect Aztec sleepers.
Yes.
When the dark demon of the Aztec culture, again, won't try and pronounce the names because I'm going to struggle.
It's very long as well.
Yeah,
isn't
it's like none of Zenon.
Lots of Zs.
Yeah, lots of Zs and stuff. But it's in the book. I'll be honest, again. Most people probably won't be able to get hold of these books, not for cheap. So you probably won't be able to read them yourself. But you'll just have to go off what me and Dennis say and what we think of them.
And I quite like the when it shows the Aztecs and it shows all the statues and the one of Freddy.
Yeah,
his face there. He's like, hey!
and that comes into play in one of the deaths as well.
Yeah,
it's like
it
a
does,
big
yeah,
head.
Yeah.
And I think as much as I love Jason, I think there's something about Freddy, which I think on the whole I prefer the Friday the 13th franchise to the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise.
I'm the same, yeah.
I do really like Robert Englund. I do like the character, but I think there's something I like the concept of killing people in their sleep and stuff. I like the rules that it sets up, which some of the films kind of go, you know, none of those rules. Just sack them off. A bit like Highlander in a way. Just kind of sack off the established rules and stuff and the continuity.
You're now from space.
You're now an alien some reason. Because you can't be the only one anymore. And since you killed all the only ones, so now aliens. So, anyway, but yeah.
What do you think of the... the writing in this one? Because it's written by Chuck Dixon.
Chuck Dixon of Batman fame, Nightwing fame.
Who's kind of like...
Robin fame.
During the 90s was probably his...
That was his heyday.
Yeah. I think he writes dialogue very well. It comes across in the book. The dialogue's, like I say, snappy.
Yeah.
It doesn't hang around. It doesn't treat you like you're silly. It just gets straight onto it. The dialogue between everyone's in there is all relevant.
Yeah.
For me, there's there's
enough character development.
Yeah.
Like... I wanted to ask you this. How well do you think slasher movies, like reading these, and I'm sure you've read some of the slashery type comics in the past, you know, as much as you like slashers, do you think that they, as a form of media, as a slasher movie, does that translate to comics?
No.
Okay.
I think it's very difficult to kind of build tension in a comic. Mm. I think it's very difficult to have those jump scares. I think it's very difficult to have that kind of claustrophobic or that, you know, someone's watching you kind of feeling. Mm. Even in a dark room with the TV on and a little bit of a noise in the background or whatever, I think that's very hard to do in a comic book.
Mm.
I think, you know, people have had a good go at it.
Yeah.
And there are occasions, you know, even in mainstream comics, you know, Swamp Thing, Man Thing, you know, stuff like that, there is moments in these books. But I just think... I think it's very hard to have those long, non-talking characters just there. Mm. Where with Freddy, you've got a lot of talking. He quips all the time. He gives him a bit of back chat. He explains. So you have dialogue with stuff. Mm. I think having Michael Myers, you know, Friday 13th, I don't think it would... Like, thing is the same. Texas Chainsaw Massacre doesn't speak.
Yeah.
So... It's not. There's no like.
Does a dance. Does a nice dance.
It does a dance. Yeah.
A good little jiggle.
And there's no. There's no kind of like even internal monologue or anything. There's nothing.
No. There's nothing.
And even like the games, the slasher games, they do have internal monologue. Yeah. I think they see.
There's something. Yeah.
That a character just standing there isn't strong enough to do it.
Yeah. So in silence.
I think the comics suffer from that.
Hmm.
I think they suffer from pacing issues with it as well.
I think one of the main things, like you were saying, the tension, you've got no music.
No.
Straight away, you've got no music, which is one of the highlights of any slasher film.
So.
You know, especially Nightmare, especially Friday the 13th, and especially Halloween.
We don't have that which is like...
Iconic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they write it, but what?
But also, I think there's... I mean, we'll get on to Friday the 13th, but I think, for me, there's not... a lot of tension built because you don't see the character that often. And again, like in the film, they'll have the teens, you know, having beer and all that other stuff and having sex. But then every so often you'll cut back to, you know, Jason walking around and just lurking and watching them. You don't have that in these books. Not even for a second do you
just
really
like
have
close
that.
Up of his feet walking.
Yeah.
You know he's a presence.
Just something like that would be enough. And I get the requirements of like 20 plus pages and stuff, but even just one of those pages, just him maybe stalking and stuff would help.
You kind of touched on it earlier, was the dream world to me is very comic booky.
Yeah.
It's very fantasy. You can do stuff that were...
There's more possibilities.
Yeah, Friday 13th, I know it's more grounded. I know it's silly to say a guy with a hockey mask, but it's more grounded.
Yeah, arguably.
Where in your dreams, pretty much anything you can think of, you can dream.
Mm.
So... And the books both do that. The books both take it into an area.
People dream differently. I like the logic that they use in the Nightmare books about, you know, the little girl in the coma in the first story. Mm. There's a little girl in the coma and she keeps turning up and then disappearing because what it turns out is she's in a coma. And when they're giving her a medicine, she actually drops into REM sleep so she can dream. So she dreams for a little bit, but then it comes straight back out and she's assisting the main characters. So I like that Chuck Dixon's clearly done a bit of research into dreaming and what dreams happen and how dreams occur.
Similar to what Wes Craven did when he did the first movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I think it lends itself, both of the stories have massive fantasy elements of it. Mm, you've got a war in the middle of a book.
Yeah.
And then you've got monsters and you've got this, the first page, I think, on the second story is this Chinese lad running and he's in like, there's a flying bolt, there's a planet there.
Yeah.
So it's straight away, it's like you've opened up a fantasy book
with a
horror slasher element to it.
And I, that's what I've always liked, especially like the, going back to like classic comics, like Steve Ditko, Doctor Strange books, always amazing looking. Because again, like he could just... draw these amazing fantasy worlds. And there was no, you know, there's no budget, there's no restraint. It's just pure creativity on the page. And I feel like this Nightmare has that license to do that. Yeah, people dream differently. Yeah. People have different styles of dreams. I had a friend a while back who he would dream, at the end of his dream, the credits would roll. Every time he had a dream, he would see credits like it was a movie. I've never had that. I've never dreamt like that.
People dreaming black and white and all sorts of stuff. So I think, you know, going to one of the things with the art style as well, I think, you know, the art style's bright. It's colourful in places. There's the gore is beautifully red.
Oh yeah,
it's
that's one of the things that I think does work when translating them to comic books. I think the gore in both books is effective.
I think Freddy's face is detailed as well, even when it's just a slight panel.
Yeah,
like I've just opened up and he's had a big hole blown in front of him, but it's dripping. There's pages of dripping of blood and stuff. Yeah. So I think the art style I like the art style in this book.
Yeah,
it's not great. It's not, you know, Jim Lee, it's not.
I think we talked about this off the recording, that we think that the money was poured into the license and then the writers. I don't think it was spent. Again, these artists are not bad, but they're not like you said, they're not Jim Lee. It's not John Romita Jr. They're not top level artists. They are kind of your regular. Up and coming artists, yeah. Again, there's nothing really terrible. I've seen a lot worse art than this.
Yes, Transformers, JoJo.
Yeah, there's stuff like that. And there's on a lot of licensed books. I don't mind licensed books. I like the idea of licensed books. And I think it gets people into comics. I've never had a problem with licensed books, but I can understand the restrictions and the problems, but also the freedoms given to artists and creators with licensed books. And I think we're going to talk about that a little later. Mm. I think they're adequate artists, or good artists, but I think you're right in what you say, that the money has gone towards the license and the writers. I think on Texas Chainsaw Massacre, it's Andy Lanning and Dan Abnett?
No idea.
I think it's Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning, they're known as DNA, I think, sometimes. They did they did the Annihilation Saga and a few other things as well.
Aquaman, didn't
they don't write together anymore, but they used to do a lot together. But we'll read that another time. But yeah, I had fun with this book. I liked it. I think you mentioned before we recorded, there's no nudity in this, but there is nudity in Friday the 13th. Yeah. And again, for me, it's as beautiful as you can draw a woman. It's not better than a real woman. You know what I mean? Like, the art is beautiful, looks good. The female form is great, but at the end of the day, I'd rather see a naked lady than a photo of a naked lady or a picture of a naked lady.
Because it's painting the artist, of a naked lady. What the artist likes.
Yeah, exactly.
So you get different artists drawing women differently.
I know there's people out there that are very, you know, probably a little too into, you know, drawn characters and anime and all that other stuff and get quite a thrill out of it. Let's just call it a thrill, because I don't want to delve into it any deeper than this.
I don't get it.
I'm not personally into that. If, you know, there's people that you know, are really into video game characters, and I'm like, that was never really something I was interested in. I like an actual woman, or you know, images of an actual woman or an actual naked woman. That's my preference. But if you're into that, you know,
you're sharing a lot.
I know, probably too much. I like naked ladies.
I like them.
I like naked ladies. I like seeing naked ladies. Let me see naked ladies. I just want to see naked ladies. Luckily, the internet's full of them.
Your phone's full of them.
I've got problems. My phone's going to crash. Oh, no. Oh, it's all sticky. Oh, no. Anyway. So, but watching the Freddy films, going back to that, there's actually no nudity in the Freddy films, which I found surprising. Because I was like, well, Friday the 13th is full of it. That's kind of one of the tropes of a slasher movie.
Yeah.
But then when we looked at slashers, again, it was very rare those films had nudity in. Like Black Christmas doesn't have nudity. No. You know, Peeping Tom did, but very brief. Very, very brief.
Yeah, it was pictures though, wasn't it?
Yeah. And then the woman takes the top off, but instantly fades to black.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I was just thinking about it. And I was like, none of them have nudity. It was only really Friday the 13th that was like, get the big boobs in. Let's see some blood and boobs. You know, that was their thing. So I'm kind of not surprised that Friday the 13th has the boobs and Nightmare doesn't.
So how do you think it compares to the movies?
What, Nightmare?
Yeah.
I think it's a fairly good adaptation. It's fun. It's wacky. You know, I don't think it's... I think, like you were saying with comics, horror comics, for me, you can't really do the pacing, can't really do that much tension. I have had moments and experiences with horror comics where I've had a jump scare or something like that. But it's very, very, very rare that that happens. What I go into horror comics for are usually the visuals, the imagination, and the more like the eerie feeling, or the or I'm seeing something very disturbing,
like
or haunting.
Nightbreed.
Yeah.
That haunted kind of stuff works better.
It's more that feeling, and less opposed like that kind of feeling. I'm not looking for that necessarily, or if I get it, great, but I'm not going into a comic going, this is going to scare me. And this didn't.
It reminded me very much of the later Freddy movies, 4 and 5, like Dream Child and Dream Warrior, I think they were, which he's almost a parody of himself by then.
Yeah.
Taking the piss out of himself.
Yeah.
You know, he's dressed up as the Wicked Witch of the West at one point and stuff. So this reminded me very much of that. Fun, not horror.
Yeah.
Which for me, I think horror stops at number 3. I think Dream Warriors is probably the last one where he's more of the boogeyman.
Yeah.
He's more of that thing. And
he's
then,
not like this franchise, you know.
Like, by the 4th one, they were making toys for him and stuff like that. So he'd become...
You had the Freddy's stories, you had all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then they kind of brought it back, didn't they, when Wes Craven came back?
Yeah, and they tried to kind of bring him back to kind of be...
New Nightmare,
yeah,
I think
the boogeyman type stuff again. Mm. So it's a lot different from how you see him in the first movie.
Yeah.
Where he's properly scared. He's proper this kind of figure in the back.
And I noticed in the first movie as well, it's not as much effects on his voice. There seems to be a lot of effects as it goes on. It's like,
you're going to die, bitch.
And his face gets more burnt and more crispy. Yeah. And the other one, it's just
a little like, it's like an actual burn victim in the first one. And you don't really ever get a good look at him.
Not really. It's always in shadow and stuff.
But the following, even 2, you get a much better look at him. But again, it's different.
I've not seen 2 in ages.
Yeah, I watched it the other night. I want to watch the documentary Scream.
Yeah, me
Scream,
too.
Scream, comma, Queen,
yeah.
Exclamation point, My Nightmare on Elm Street, which is about the main actor who was a HIV survivor. And people have glommed onto that film as like one of the first gay horror films. I didn't notice it at the time when I was... I was very young. I was like 13, 10, 12, 11, something like that. So I didn't notice those things. But watching it again, I was like, my God, there's a lot of kind of... There's a lot of subtext.
Comes out.
Yeah, it comes out. And then there could be like, you know... Is Freddy like AIDS or something? Yeah. You know, he's being killed from the inside.
I remember
reading
somewhere in a lot of the scenes he's just in like shorts and stuff.
He's doing the camp dancing. He doesn't want to sleep with his girlfriend.
Yeah,
spends a lot of time with the guy. The guy even says, "You want to be here with me, sleep with me, as opposed to your girlfriend." You know, all this other stuff. So there's a lot. I think he was a closeted actor at the time. So he was struggling with that and being in Hollywood and what that did to him. And the world around the kind of subculture at the time. Yeah. It was a subculture at the time. It's not a subculture anymore, but it was very much like a dark and disturbing, you know, dirty. That's what the mainstream kind of people in America would have thought of it back then. But obviously nowadays we're a bit more enlightened about, you know, gay culture and stuff. It's really interesting. But however, I can't find it available.
No, I can't get it anywhere.
Available. No. I think it was a Shudder exclusive. But
it's on Amazon US.
Is it?
Yeah, okay. But I can't get it anywhere. Yeah.
We need to purchase a VPN, if that works.
What do you think of the knives and the fingers?
In the second one?
Yeah, I always thought it was a bit weird.
I quite liked it. Like, it was coming out of his hand. It wasn't like...
The effect's good.
Yeah.
The effect's
good. Oh, it's really good,
But a bit weird for me.
Well, I kind of liked it. I will say that the second one does break a lot of the rules that were established in the first one.
It's almost like a completely separate movie. And the third one is
kinda
almost like a direct sequel.
Yeah, it brings it back. I think I prefer the first and the third one. Second one, I don't mind, but I tend not to really remember the rest of them.
Yeah.
And I've heard that they're not amazing following the third one.
It's just all effects and silliness.
I do want to watch New Nightmare, though. I want to give that a go.
Yeah, I've not seen that for a while.
Because I've heard that's pretty good.
It's all right.
It's a little Scream-like. It's a little
it's like a proto-Scream.
Sort
I think he did that to test whether it would work, and then he went on to did Scream.
Yeah.
And I quite like in this book as well, even though you think Freddy's dead.
What do you think?
He's never dead.
Never. Dreams will never die.
Dreams will never die, but his face will get a bit
Yeah,
Sooner Cream ain't going to sort that out, is
nah,
it?
No, it's severely burnt. What did you think of the... I know we're not even talking about the comics now, but what do you think of the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street?
I didn't mind it.
Yeah, I didn't mind it.
It's almost like they took the tropes and they ran with it.
A lot of people hate it. Absolutely hate it.
I think it's because there's so much fondness for Robert Englund and stuff.
Yeah, true.
And they tried to make him a...
They made him an actual child molester.
Yeah, they made him...
Instead of just a child murderer, he's a molester.
Yeah, and...
I always kind of thought he was a molester anyway.
Yeah, they touch on it, but they never really... In this one, he's a full-on paedophile.
Pedo, yeah.
And so straight away... And this is what I always struggled with the later movies in the original franchise, is the fact that you're liking a paedophile.
Yeah, a child murderer.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, it's a bit weird,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, he's like, I'm kooky and I've got gags and puns. But I also kill kids.
You go in my boiler room, you'll find children's clothes.
Yeah.
But I didn't mind it. I thought he was good. I can't remember the actor's name.
What is his name? I'll come back to it. Yeah.
I thought he was good. I thought the makeup effect with the nose missing, I thought was quite good.
I thought it looked more like a burn victim, like a real burn victim.
Yeah, I do as well.
Than the original. I liked how it transitioned into the dream world. Like, you didn't really know.
Yeah.
Because they were like doing these micro sleeps, weren't they? I love that idea and the kind of, I think Batman does micro sleeps, doesn't he, to fight more crime. That's what he does. Fight crime. Vengeance. Justice. That's what he does.
I'm Batman.
I'm Freddy Krueger. Anyway. I thought it was fine.
Yeah, I didn't think it was. I didn't think it was terrible.
I didn't expect much from it either. Like, I wasn't a massive fan of the Nightmare on Elm Street. I think they're good.
It was Platinum and Dunes, wasn't it? You know, who did the Friday the 13th remake and the Chainsaw Massacre remake.
Yeah, that would make sense. Yeah. So New Line must have given them the license, I think, at the time. If they're still with New Line, I'm not sure.
Yeah, Warner still have them.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was fine. Anyway, so what are we saying for Freddy? We quite like Freddy?
I like Freddy. I think that the writing's snappy. I think the writing's good. I think it doesn't treat you silly.
No.
I think the art style is good. Mm. I think
it's imaginative.
Kills,
there's a bit more things you can do with it, idea.
To have a guy... skateboarding down a knife, one of his glove. I think it's great.
Grinding on that knife.
Yeah, again, very reminiscent of Number 3. You know, the kind of puppets and stuff like that. Yeah. So I liked it. I thought it was a good book, and it, and I'm not a massive Nightmare on Elm Street fan. I like it, but I wouldn't go out and buy the box set.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. That's fair. I will just say this. If you were expecting a different podcast this week, I'm sorry. We were going to do the Clone Saga, but somebody didn't do their reading. Now Dennis is an old school man. He's old. He's an old guy. He's old. He's an old man. He's getting on in his years. I've got quite a lot digitally, comic books. And I had a spare iPad and I had a login. So I decided to give Dennis an iPad, which I don't give to anybody. I don't just give, free iPads out. I'm not this cool guy who has lots of money. I've got no money at all. Please continue to give on Patreon. I'm not made of it. No advertisers are paying for this yet. Please help. So I gave it him and I said, you know what, sign into my account, Dennis, and you've got access to all my digital comics. Go crazy. Go crazy on Comixology. You can, I'll give you Marvel Unlimited as well. I've got that for the time being. You can have that. I said, okay, Dennis. So this is 2 months ago now. I said, we're going to do the Clone Saga, Dennis. So you get reading. Yeah, okay.
I've kind of read some of it.
So there's probably about 500 pages in this book. So fair play to Dennis. You know, he is a quick reader, though. I've seen him read comics in minutes.
Yes.
Like full graphic novels in minutes. He's incredible. Like that's brilliant. I think that's amazing. However, he's gone 3 issues deep.
5 now.
5 issues deep. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Shock horror. So that's what's that? So that's 20 pages, probably 20 pages a piece.
Yes.
So maybe a third in.
Yes.
Probably about a third through. Maybe a little less. Maybe a quarter. And you still not finished it after 2 months.
No.
So Paul, I did. Now I know you've criticized me in the past. I love you, Paul. You're a friend of mine, Dennis.
Yes.
Lovely guy. And he wished that I would telegraph what I'm doing more. So in the podcast, so not surprise people like, I've done this, which I kind of like to do. I've done this weird thing. Here, have it. Do you like it? You don't like it? Who knows? Who cares? But I said, you know what, Paul, I will do that. I will make sure that you're aware of what we're going to look at, because Paul likes to either watch the movie, read the comic, and then listen to our opinions, because he loves the show and he's a Patreon giver. Please keep giving, Paul. I love you. And you've let him down, Dennis, and all my listeners down, and all these people that are paying their good money to listen to the Clone Saga. They want to hear the Clone Saga. They want to know where Ben Reilly comes from, where the Jackal comes from, all this.
Where the grizzly bear comes from. Yeah, where the grizzly comes from.
How did Mysterio die? What's Carrion? Who's that? You know, all these kind of characters.
I don't even know that yet.
And exactly, he's not even that far in the book.
And what's even more amusing is Dan brought these horror books around, and I literally read them straight away.
I think you read them in one night. I said, here, have these, and then I think by the time I got back here, sat down, had something to eat, you'd already got home and read them both. I'm like, yeah, they're good.
Yeah, I'd already read them. I like physical books. I struggle with digital. Mm. I like the tactile. I like the. I'm an analog guy. What can I say? I like that.
You're old.
Book.
Yeah, you're old.
Yeah, no, sure. but I don't know. It's weird. Yeah. I struggle with it.
That's why. Well, that's why I didn't want to. So I had to rush. I had to rush and read both books to make sure that we had a podcast for these people that are paying their good money to replace it.
I see. I've let you lot down.
Let yourself down.
I've let Dan down.
Let everybody
down.
But
more importantly, and I think this is the worst thing.
Comic books down.
I've let my wife down.
Why?
She won't give a shit either way, really. I think she just says if I disappear with a book, it gives her a piece for about half an hour or something. So,
okay, so you could have had 500. You could have done the 500 pages.
I could have done.
That must be at least 200 pages.
Yeah.
So you could have gone at least halfway through by the time you'd read that.
Yeah.
So definitely. So yeah,
I am shit.
You're a crap.
And it's really weird because I've had your account for a while now.
Yeah, loads.
And I think I've read two things on it because
shame.
I think it's Castle of Bat I read.
Because we were doing the Elseworlds, weren't we?
World Divide or something. But then I went out and bought them and read them again because they were better. So
It's fine. You know what, Dennis? To be fair, you've had a lot on. So I appreciate you've been dealing with some difficult things at the moment. But I do appreciate you reading something. You want to talk comics, we've got to read them. That's the thing.
I could talk about comics that I've read.
Yeah, exactly. So look, I'm glad you read that, because that was kind of, we had this idea for a little while when I got these books. I was like, you can have them, we'll do the thing. Once we do it, you can have them. So I'm glad you read them, and I'm glad it made me go, fuck, I've got to read these during my 12-hour shift.
Yeah, it was literally,
don't tell work.
There you go, read them. Ring you up. I read them.
Yep, good.
Have you read the clone thing yet? No.
No. Spider-Man? A clone?
And what's really annoying is the things that I have read.
It's really good.
I really enjoyed it.
It's been
really
a great good. Book. It's
yeah,
a good
and
book.
I've been like, I've been reading it. I've been smiling.
Everyone's looking forward to that book so much now.
I've been flicking the five issues I've read. I have enjoyed it, and it's kind of been, you know, very nice reading old 70s Spider-Man and stuff.
Yeah, the opening. It contains a lot of other kind of clone. It basically, the collection I've got is called the Original Clone Saga, and it collects everything up until pretty much everything clone related up until the 90s Clone Saga. So this is a kind of 70s, 80s, a little bit of late 80s, maybe 90s going into. It features all these kind of links and things. But it is, the first story is quintessential classic Spidey, quintessential classic villains. You know, you've got Jerry Conway, you've got Ross Andrew, quality stuff. And it's fun, it's fast-paced, it's great, it's dynamic. It's everything I love about Spider-Man. And that's why I wanted to read it, Dennis.
Yeah, and that's what I have enjoyed it.
Yeah,
and
having a good time.
I do think what might be quicker is if I just go on to my Diamond account and buy it.
I'm just thinking that's the thing. Like, I'm more of a digital person now, just because I don't have the room for all these books.
Neither do I. I don't give a shit.
I don't have the room for all these books, and it's convenient. And if I want to like screen grab stuff and use that, or you know, post about it, I can do that. And they're usually really cheap as well. And also, if it's digital, it's never out of print, so I don't need to spend silly amounts on books.
I think it's 50 quid. I think it's $49.99. The your collection you've got for me to buy.
Yeah, it'd be a big one.
But I think that will be quicker than waiting for me to read it on your iPad.
Yeah, could be. Could be.
So I actually looked at it today.
I bet you did.
Yeah,
I bet you did.
Flicking down thinking,
I'm guilty.
Should I get it? Should I get it or not?
Yeah.
I might order it. It might not arrive because diamonds like that, aren't they? Yeah. I never know if things are going to arrive or not.
That is true.
I'll give it another go. The iPad's now next to me, and I'm not sleeping very well.
Yes.
And one of the things I've been told is read and not play games and crap. So it's there next to me. So I may, when I'm awake next time, have a flick. And that's why I got 5 issues, because I've not been sleeping, so I've read it.
Of course, yeah.
You've shamed me, haven't you?
Shamed you. It's only because I'll be honest, I'm very guilty of going, I'm going to do this, and then I don't do it. So you know, it's my own fault as well. There's a lot of things I've announced this, and then for whatever reason, it doesn't come off. Like, I've accidentally deleted the podcast, or, you know, or it's not recorded properly or something. Or it was just that bad, I don't want to even talk about it. You know, there's a lot of films that I do, I go, oh, that's a bit shit, actually. Or there's, you know, things like that, you know. Anyway.
So the next time we talk about comics, it will be the Clone.
It better be.
It will be the Clone Saga. Whether I buy it or not, I promise.
Okay.
I promise Paul.
Because.
I promise you, Paul, it will be Spider-Man Clone Saga.
Because. Yes, Paul and everybody else, the other Patreons. Yeah.
I deliver comics to Paul and he can kick me in the balls.
He will. So I hope he does. Give him a good kick, Paul. Because Paul could have read that.
He could have read that.
And he could have bought it from me. He could be rubbing his hands, just going, oh, I can't wait to hear what they have to say. And you ruined him. But I also want...
You just made me joke at my coke.
Choke on my coke. I'm glad you said coke and not anything
could
else.
Could have been something else.
Is that, that's how close we are.
Yes.
We're in my flat alone. What will happen?
Bow, 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 bow.
Bow, 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 bow.
I've come to fix your plumbing.
Chicky, chicky, wow, wow.
Let me see your plumbing.
I've got a big shaft.
Let me get my spanner out.
Speaking of large, sharp, pointed phallic instruments, let's talk about Friday the 13th.
Machete.
Friday the 13th. Machete doesn't text, but what does this comic do?
Oh, can I just go straight into it?
Oh. Get a basic plot for us first.
Oh, just it's Friday 13th. People know what the plot is.
Right. They do. Most people. Some people that might not have even seen a Friday the 13th film. Well, so tell them what that is.
It's a bunch of kids swimming, death, destruction, water, camping.
Right. Dennis has blown a fuse. So a Friday the 13th movie is basically sexually active teens who like to smoke a lot of weed head to a camp for whatever reason, for whatever the plot needs, and Jason is there, or Pamela Voorhees, and they go around killing them because Jason drowned when some teens were having sex and smoking weed. So that is the main thrust, as we would call it, with a Friday the 13th movie. Depending on the film, there's slight differences, but that's the basic plot.
Why does he look like his head's on backwards?
I have no idea. It's not that well
drawn.
That is,
I never noticed that. That's weird.
Yeah, it's not the greatest. Anyway, so we've got Jason, and there's a group that are, again, like the... It's got a lot of references to the original film.
Yes.
Like you've got a crazy Ralph type. You've got the diner scene where no one wants to help or see anyone, and they don't want to go anywhere.
It's a death curse.
It's got a death kish.
You've got reopening the cabin.
Making sure it's ready for kids in the summer.
People keep warning them. They've got t-shirts saying, I survived Crystal Lake.
They talk about the legends and all the bad things that have happened there and the death kiss and all that sort of stuff. But it's pretty cut and dry, just your standard average Friday the 13th plot. Jason turns up and tries to kill them one by one. But you talk about it a bit more, Dennis. Now we've got the plot out of the way. What we would call a plot.
I was disappointed in this book.
Yeah.
We touched on it earlier about slashes and transferring into the page. He doesn't say anything. So it's very hard for you to kind of, what are his motivations? Why is he in these woods? Is he lost? Where does he get his machete from? I read it twice. I read it first, really quickly. And then I spoke to Dan about it. I thought, I may have done it an injustice and go back and read it again and spend a bit more time on it. And the second time I read it, it does feel like a Friday 13th movie. Hmm. You've got nameless teens. Mm-hmm. You've got fodder.
Yeah.
You've got bad dialogue.
Yeah.
You've got boobies. Mm-hmm. I mean, blatant boobies. Like, there's a death scene which shows loads of bodies and a boobs out.
Yeah, for no reason.
No reason
at all. Gratuitous nudity.
You've got a lake. So it's very much like the movies. And I have, I, you know, thinking about it, I have this kind of love of Friday 13th. Hmm. But realistically...
Which we talked about on our top five Friday 13th movies.
Realistically, they're just trash.
Yeah.
But they're entertaining trash. So I can see what they're trying to do with the book. Hmm. Because it does have the tropes in. You have the building blocks, as you were saying, what makes a Friday 13th movie. So you have those building blocks.
Yeah. Everything's there.
Yeah. But it just does not work at all. And I think...
We didn't mention who writes this or draws this.
I can't remember.
So it is the team from a lot of Jonah Hex stories, which I really like. So it's written by Justin Gray and Jim Palmiotti. And the pencils are by Adam Archer. And the inks by Peter Guzman. So those are...
far too much talking in it. For it's almost like you're reading like The Dark Knight Returns. Every page is packed with dialogue, and these are stupid teens. They shouldn't really be talking.
So you've got a group of stoners. Yes. You've got the guy working for the guy who owns the camp.
Yes.
You've got a couple of girls. One who has some mental issues and is on some medication. You've got one couple and his shaggy friend. And then you've got another...
With his head on backwards.
Yeah, with his head on backwards in that particular shot. And then you've got another couple, Spanish couple, I think, as well there. And they're all the stock kind of characters, the stock. But the book spends... Like, if you look at both books side by side, you can see the amount of dialogue that is packed into every page is far too much. And if these characters are fodder... Why have we got so much dialogue coming out of all of them? If they're just if you're trying to kind of do a pastiche on Friday the 13th, if you're going these people are the fodder, why do we have so much character development for them when they're very shallow characters? That's my issue with it. I don't know how much freedom the writers had. I will say this, that. When you get a licensed book, often there's things that you can and can't do with certain characters. They can't be seen doing this, or something would be out of character. So I'm not sure if there's maybe some kind of agreement on certain things they have to include, certain things they have to excise from the stories or not include, because it definitely feels like they have to do a Friday the 13th, a regular Friday the 13th book. But it almost feels like they've written a script for a movie, and it's like, okay, this is our script for our movie, but we can't make it. They've rejected the movie script, so we're just going to put it into a comic. And it's too dialogue-heavy for me.
Well, Jason doesn't turn up to page 47.
Well, there's an opening section with him in, but then it's you get that horrible flashback like 3 weeks previously.
He's there,
24 hours in the past. You just get that.
And the dialogue is dumb.
Yeah.
It's dumb dialogue. Well,
the dumb characters.
That fight scene on the roof.
Young, dumb, and full of cum, as somebody might say.
The fight scene on the roof where he's doing these martial arts and knocks him off the top. And it's like, why does it need any of that?
Yeah.
Up until that point, I didn't even notice those two characters had any beef with each other.
No, and now they do.
Again, the gore is great.
Yeah, the gore is really... There's a great bit where Jason throws his machete through a window, cuts a girl's head clean in half. There's a bit where the young girl is bashing what she thinks to be Jason's head in with the top of the toilet, the top of the toilet lid thing. And there's loads of gore. The gore really works in both books.
Yeah.
That's probably the best
thing.
The
toilet looks disgusting.
Yeah, that is a grim toilet.
But do we watch Friday the 13th movies for the in-depth characters? And do we watch it for the kills.
Exactly.
So I think that's a big tick for it. The kills are great, imaginative.
But they are very few and far between, and they take a lot. Now this is just one story as well, which I think brings it down a bit in comparison with Freddy's stories, because there's two separate stories in that.
Freddy's first kills in both books are page two and in the page two of the first one and page one of the first book.
Exactly.
So like, straight away it's dead.
Bam, you're in, you're in. It's Freddy. He's here. They're dead. Great. But with Friday the 13th, I get that they want to establish the characters. I get they want to establish problems. but it just, it's too much. And there's just like this inner bickering. It's just, oof. Like, there are some interesting ideas in it that I quite like. There's a bit where she gets, one of the girls gets pulled under, and there's been this legend of all these kids drowning and dying in the lake, and then she's starting to get pulled down by these kind of ghost children, which I quite like the image of. Like we said, that Freddy was more in the book was a bit more visually interesting. I like the dark blue and the black in comparison with the Freddy, which is quite red and fiery and stuff, and I think that was probably a choice as well.
Yes.
I like, what else did I like? Oh, I like the Freddy kind of, the mentally ill lady, he kind of hands her the machete as if she's going to like carry on his work or become the next Jason, or he's going to have a partner in crime. I like that idea. But yeah, it's a lot of, it's just a lot of filler, I feel, in this book. There's a lot of, like, not much happening. I think one of the other issues I have with it as well is it's set in modern day, and I feel, after watching all the films last year, that the Friday the 13th is a very 80s style slasher. I can't really, like, I know there's been films outside of the 80s, even in the future, but I've always felt that it has this 80s aesthetic of like, let's get stoned and let's have sex and blah, you know, and wearing all the skimpy outfits and the fashions of the time. And it's in modern day. They talk about listening to iPods and stuff. And they do try and add stuff to, I think one of the benefits that Jason has over like Michael Myers is they explain sort of his reason for killing, but they never explain how he comes back from the dead, how he's never really dies, you know, what the supernatural element is.
He's a homing pigeon.
Yeah. Yeah. Just circling the lake constantly. You know, even with Freddy, they kind of sort of explain how he got his dream powers and stuff with those weird slug things, the worm things. But the thing, you know, Michael Myers got explained with the kind of thorn cult and why he's supernatural and stuff, but they never explain why Jason is supernatural. And I've always liked that. They do try and add a bit to the lore with the dead kids and Native American. There's a Native American massacre that happened there. I don't think that stuff needs to be explained, but I was like, there was so much stuff they could have done with this book that there was opportunities to tell different stories, opportunities to, you know, I would have loved to have Pamela, like in the video game, in the Friday the 13th video game, you get Pamela Voorhees, like, instructing Jason what to do. Like, kill them. Even kill for mummy.
The Friday 13th puzzle game. It's just that you have the same thing.
Yeah, you have her as a guiding figure.
She's talking you through stuff.
Yeah, tells you how to do stuff. We should have had that or some kind of inner monologue for Jason, because I get that he's silent, he's strong, but, like, I'm so sick to death of hearing the dialogue from these other fodder characters. I just want some kind of insight to who he is.
I also wanted to see Wet Jason.
Wet Jason. Like we said, we do like a good wet Jason.
Yeah, and he looks... It's almost like they can't decide on what style to do. So they've looked at, like, number three.
Yeah.
And probably the remake.
It looks... I think he looks a bit like the Freddy vs. Jason or the Jason X version.
Which is modern day, isn't it? I'm just flicking through it now, and I just want to point out that every single nude scene, their boobs are massive.
Yeah, they're ridiculous.
I mean, absolutely.
They're not even...
There's no way these women would walk.
No.
They're ridiculous.
There's a sex scene where one of the characters is, you know, naked and her breasts are exposed, and they filled a bag of water. It's just a big bag of water, they would have to have breast reductions. There's no way they could function as a human being with breasts that large. It's just not possible.
I do like I said the kills, like the kill at the beginning with the car and he hits him with the wrench and you see his teeth and his face comes
it comes off.
That's really good, but it's just all filler. I want to see more of that. I want to see more of, and you don't, he's never in the distance. That's all these people are partying down and stuff. Yeah. You're not seeing him straight away because you're focusing.
Yeah, if you see him in the background, or if there's a shot of him looking out towards them or something like that. That's what I was saying before. Like in the Friday the 13th, you get the music and you get the POV shots. No POV shots in this either, which I was kind of wanting to see.
And when the art style is away from Jason and the kills, it's rough.
It's rough because it's boring.
Yeah.
It's dull. It's boring.
And
there's
that
nothing
guy's
going
beard
on.
Changes every time you see him.
There's that element that they introduce, which is I mean, they're all arseholes to each other as well.
They're
all horrible, horrible people, horrible to each other, cheating on each other, fighting each other, you know.
You don't have empathy with any of them.
No. The people I had empathy for were the two stoners, actually. Mm. That was the only ones I kind of, at least, they were like, well, they know what they are, they're stoners, but they're friends with each other. They've got, you know, and they're like the first to go.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, fuck's sake. The ones I actually even half felt something for. Because, and there's bits where characters are just like not, like, they keep talking about being in a horror film. And I'm like, I get that, but sometimes it's just, they talk about it so much, I'm like, you might as well just say I'm in a Friday the 13th movie. That's basically what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm in a Friday the 13th movie, because that's all you keep referencing. You talk about all the slasher tropes. And again, if it was a pastiche, or it was, you know, it was a spoof, then I get it, but it's not a spoof. And it's not funny either. There's no charming elements. There's no real humor. It's just, you know what I was saying about Wanted? That it's like, it's kind of, you know, it's
mean-spirited,
mean-tempered.
Yeah.
It is that. It's just people being fucking awful to each other. And I get as well, not what you want these characters to die. I get that, because there's a lot of that in the movies. But I need one character who's not a complete dick. For 2 minutes. Like, they're either really cowardly, or they're just a complete arsehole. There's no kind of middle ground.
No.
Even the one who's mentally ill, that you kind of feel a little bit for, she's still not great. You know, she's still not amazing. But she's your focus character. And she's the one you're supposed to focus in on.
It really annoys me, because I love Friday the 13th.
Hmm.
I don't understand how they got it so wrong.
Yeah.
I don't get it. The source material's
like
there.
You said, it's a simple premise.
Yeah, it's
like,
not.
And you could, and again, you could expand on different things. You could take him different places.
Put him in New York. Put him somewhere else. Yeah. Put him into space. Do something with him.
And I think other Friday the 13th comics have done that.
Yeah.
And they've been like, I think there's a Jason X versus Jason. There's a Jason versus Leatherface. Yeah. There's lots of other stuff
there's lots of things you could have done with him.
Yeah.
But instead, they've just spent 40 odd pages with people being mean to each other.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work.
And it's continual. And it's not like, there's not even a bit where they're like, oh, you know what? I was a bit of a dick. Sorry about that. Shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have done that. No, I don't think one person apologizes to anybody.
No, it's that fight with the bearded guy and the bald-headed bloke.
Hmm.
And it's like, he's proper going in on him.
Yeah.
Just because he's different.
Yeah. Yeah, straight away, they're already like, there's this nerdy bearded guy who's a bit awkward, socially awkward. They just fucking hate him from the get-go.
Yeah, yeah.
Constantly have a go at him. Constantly are saying, oh, you're fucking, why are you here? You're a retard. You know, and the insults, the proper like 80s insults as well.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, if this was modern day now, everyone would be like, well, you're not in the friendship group anymore for using that word.
Yes, I'm going to.
That particular word is not cool.
I'm going to unfriend you immediately.
Yeah, exactly. That sort of thing. But
90 pages. I think it's a little bit more than that. So I think it's 100 and some.
You could have, you know what?
132 pages.
You could have read 132 pages of the Clone Saga and it'd be so much better.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have someone getting their head removed, would it?
No, true. That's fair. It won't have that. But it would be a better experience on the whole, I will say that.
Yeah, I would.
And it wouldn't
have
been as disappointing.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, the ending proper fucked me off as well.
Yeah.
The ending was, after all that, the ending is just, like, I had one issue to go. I with Freddie, I did it in two sittings. I did two stories.
Mm.
With this, it took me at least 3 to 4 sittings. And the final sitting, I was so fucked off. It's such like a...
Well, like I said,
just spaff out an ending. Go on.
I read the Friday 13th one in about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
10, 15 minutes. And I read the Nightmare on Elm Street one. It took me about 20 minutes to read.
There you go.
Because... And it's really weird because there's a lot less dialogue in the Nightmare on Elm Street one.
I think that helps.
But it's more visually. You spend more time looking at it.
Yeah.
With this one, there's so much dialogue. You're just going through it.
Yeah.
It becomes white noise.
Yeah.
And just like, because it's... Because
skipping through it.
Yeah. None of the dialogue is actually moving the story forward.
No.
There's just no people
being
shit.
Yeah. It's just people being shitty to each other. That's all it is.
I think I know what they were trying to do. I think they were looking at the kind of what makes a Friday the 13th movie, and you've got all the standard characters in there.
You've got the ingredients.
Yeah, but there's a reason why Friday the 13th is 90 minutes long or 80 minutes long. It's because they don't spend that much time fodder.
They go, this is kind of my character.
Yeah.
This is my one-note character. Oh, I'm dead.
You're not going to get a Ben-Hur kind of length on a Friday the 13th movie.
Citizen Kane.
Yeah, even if you put all 10 of them together.
Yeah, you're not.
It's still bum bum bum. It's murder. It's quick. Set up murder.
I mean, look at part five, when we were talking about part five, how many that's like got the most murders in any Friday the 13th movie, I think. And again, it literally introduce a character, kill them. Introduce a character, kill them. You know. But again, like Jason is barely in this. Like you said, he didn't turn up till page 47. No.
And then he just stands there.
Yeah. And then he just stands there, doesn't do anything, disappears. And again, no tension's built. The only time he turns up is to kill someone. And it's not like a surprise. It's not, oh, shock, he's here. You know, because you haven't built that tension. It's just like, oh, Jason's here. And again, and there's no, like, when I look at Jason here, there's no character to him. He's just there.
And
there's nothing about his physicality that feels like Jason. There's nothing about the way he moves that feels like Jason. This is Jason.
I don't like the mask. I know it's a stupid thing for me to say, but I want the axe mark in the mask and the bullet hole.
The continuity. Because, if it's modern day.
Yeah, because that, you know.
That does stick. I mean, that is one of the main things that sticks.
And there's a bullet hole here. There's an extra hole here where he gets shot in the third one and his head goes back and he goes down. So, and they stay in. So even in number six where he picks it, you know, he's got a newish mask.
Yeah, it still has
It still goes those places.
It's a defining part of the history of the character, yeah.
And to me, I think you're right.
Even the cover doesn't have it.
No, I think you're right. I think it is based on the Freddy vs. Jason because at the time, Warner had all the rights.
Yeah.
This was New Line. They licensed it. I think it is based on that one.
Yeah.
He's taller. But the things that make him great, fast walking, head slam.
I think it was 2007 and 2006 these released, I think. I'm hazarding a guess. I can look it up.
A new story based on the horrific films.
Horrific films. It's not. It's kind of a horrific comic. But yeah, again, I don't know. I've read better stuff by these writers.
Me too.
Whether you like or hate Jonah Hex, the Jonah Hex stories. And again, what's great about those Jonah Hex stories is the one-off tales.
Yes.
Or maybe a small two-parter.
It's almost like painting by numbers.
Yeah.
They know what they're just following. The kind of continuity of what makes a Friday the 13th movie.
Yeah.
And but not really establishing anything new.
It's like making a cake, but I feel like they've got all the ingredients, but they just haven't done it. There's some element of it that hasn't been done correctly. What's the thing that rises? What's that thing? The souffle.
Souffle, yes.
It's like the souffle. It's like they've done everything correctly. Everything's up. It's rising. That's what's happened with that.
With the nightmare one, you could have very easily just made the dreams very basic.
Yeah.
You could have made it like...
It's a boiler room.
Yeah, a body being dragged through the school.
Yeah.
You could have made it a simple bedroom, a hand coming
up
in the bath.
Which they do in the original movie, like see Tina and stuff.
So they could have made it very much like that. But no, they thought, this is a comic. We can do things in comics we can't do on the screen.
Let's fire
it out there. Let's put this somewhere in space. Let's do all these things.
Fire Freddy out of a fucking cannon.
Yeah.
Go for it.
And I feel they chuck... Reading that, he has more grasp of what made Freddy and the first, I would say the first three movies, maybe four, interesting and fun. We're here, they've watched the movies and goes, we'll just copy that and not thought about how it would translate into comics.
It's just, they just spend so much time with these characters you know are going to get murdered anyway, that you know are going to get killed.
The guy in the leather jacket, you know, the guy who works with the guy who owns the place, he's such a dick.
Yeah, he's an arsehole. Well, none of them are great.
Yeah, but he's a real dick.
Yeah. Well, he's this big businessman and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But again, there's an element they added as well, which I'm not sure if it's kind of offensive. Like, there's a lot of stuff that's offensive in it through modern eyes. But there's this guy who's with his girlfriend. They're having issues. They're arguing a lot. And they don't like his best friend, the shaggy best friend with the big beard and the head on backwards.
Yes.
You know, that weird looking guy, the slightly socially inept guy. But he's never saying anything that's like really annoying. He's going, oh, I know an interesting fact. And they go, shut up, you fucking prick.
Yeah,
you fucking prick.
He's like, what's he called? And the bushy hair and Crispin Glover's character and, a bit kind of socially awkward, but not offensive.
It's the nerd or the geek or, from part three, what's his name? The guy who gives him the ask.
Yeah,
oh, what's his name?
Yeah.
That was our question for our competition as well, wasn't it? I remember.
Gene. Is it Gene?
No.
Are you sure?
No, maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe.
Might be Gene.
Maybe Gene. Tell us, listeners. Yeah. Tell us if we're wrong. I can't
he
remember
gets
for the life of me.
He's in the head, doesn't he?
I'll look at it. I'll look at it. He's a real life lawyer now, that guy. Yeah. Anyway, but
he's fighting the rights, isn't he?
He is fighting for the rights for the. I think for Cunningham.
I think he's the first movie.
Anyway, we've talked about that before. Listen to our top five Friday the 13th movies podcast for all that information. But yeah, there's this moment where the couple isn't getting on and they don't like the friend. Anyway, it turns out the guy is kissing, turns out to be having a gay relationship with, or an affair, with his best friend. And she walks in on them, sees them proper tonguing each other as well. Like, you know. And I'm not sure if that's kind of the, like, it's the only kind of gay thing I've seen in a Friday the 13th movie that I can think of off the top of my head, like a gay character or gay characters. So I thought that was kind of cool, but to introduce them in that kind of way, I don't know if that's maybe the, because, and then they talk, there's a lot of like homophobic slurs after kind of homophobic dialogue.
Yeah.
But luckily, the people that say, most of the people that say it get their ass kicked anyway.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So that, and,
but not until page 92.
And then get killed. Mm. They get kicked, have their ass kicked by another character who is gay or bisexual at the very least. And
because he knows the way of the martial arts.
He does, yes.
He does.
But then there's even like I don't know if that was the best way to introduce something like that in the most positive light.
I also have no idea why I wave my hands up round because they can't actually see me do any martial arts.
They cannot.
So technically I did a backward flip and I did kick, like Bruce Lee stuff and then I sat back down.
One inch punch.
Continue.
I'm trying to think what I was talking about. The gay thing was, I don't know if that's maybe a little problematic for me.
I think I've introduced it differently, couldn't they?
Yeah, they could have been like, I'm in love, I'm gay and I'm in love with you. That would have been fine. And then you got killed. That would be fine. But the way it kind of... And then the homophobic slurs after that make me feel a bit uncomfortable. But again, I get that it's a Friday the 13th movie, so there's always a bit of that.
But that's the thing, isn't it? We said earlier about the 80s.
Yeah.
It's very... That was very 80s.
Yes. And if they set it in the 80s, that would be fine.
That would be
because
like,
I go, that was of the era. That was of the time. But this is fairly modern. Like, we're talking 2007.
Yeah, they're trying to mix modern with kind of...
Yeah, the classic elements.
Yeah, and it no. It's crap. Let's be honest.
I need to look at the ending again because I need to know exactly what fucked me off.
Yeah, there's not many books that I've gone back and read a second time and still thought it's crap.
Yeah.
Most things I kind of skim read and think, oh, it's not very good. I'll go back and read it again.
Yeah.
And then kind of change my mind. The only thing what second time reading did for me with this was just kind of cement the fact that I think I know what the creative team was trying to do.
Yeah.
When they should have been really looking, this is what has happened. What can we do with that character?
How do we make it better?
Yeah.
How can we expand it? How can we, you know, I can see there's like almost inklings of ideas or things that maybe could work.
He seems a little bit more self-aware in this one.
Yeah.
You know, like when he gives the machete and
he knows what he's doing.
He's not just a shark.
Yeah.
He seems to be, why didn't they kind of develop that a bit more?
Yeah. I think there should have been either an inner monologue or Pamela Voorhees guiding him. I think if it had something like that, and again, more shots of him in the background creeping through the woods, or him, you know, his point of view, or him just peering through the woods, anything like that, just to build a little bit of tension.
Cause cut down on
the dialogue, so much dialogue.
You know yourself, when you read any comic, you focus on the middle, and then, oh, hang on, there's a character up there I've not seen before. You could have just done that.
I'd have loved if I went through a few pages, and I went back, and I went, oh my God, he's actually coming closer towards them. Yeah. Oh my God, you know, something like that. But
because that opens it when they're all on the bank of the river.
Mm.
That's a perfect opportunity to have him in the background.
Mm.
And they just don't take those opportunities.
No. But again, there's nothing of... Like, there'll be complaints of certain films like Godzilla. You know, there wasn't enough Godzilla in it.
Oh, it's too dark.
For me, there's just not enough Jason in it.
You don't go to a horror movie with the main character like this to spend a good half of the book with characters you don't give a crap about. No. And
I hate these characters. I hate these characters. Not even slightly like them. Because they're all, like, they just fill those archetypes. And that's all they are. But they're just constantly talking about themselves as these archetypes. And I'm just like, yeah, I know you're this archetype, but it's not any more interesting.
Even the girl with the mental health, who's the hero, would you say?
Yeah. Kind of the protagonist.
Supposed to be the strong female character. Even she's annoying.
She's a real pain.
Oh, the ending.
Yeah. Oh, the ending really fucked me off.
Oh, yeah.
Such a bad ending. oh, after all that, I was like, okay, at least it's ending. I'm sure they'll do something with it. And they just fucking throw it away.
Yeah. And the policeman's probably the best character.
Yeah, he's the most sensible character. Yeah. Or the couple at the start that tries to help her.
Yeah.
And then they die. But fucking hell, just not good. Yeah. I do like that. What I will say is I do like the symmetry of the covers for both books.
Yep.
So they both look very similar. I'm going to put it in the... I've already posted some art for this anyway. And I like that it's both kind of a headshot for Freddy and Jason. And also on the back, they have matching back covers as well.
Yeah.
Which I didn't notice initially. It has the same and styling.
They also have the variant covers.
And they also have this kind of checkered kind of... I don't know, what is it, lettering or something?
Yeah, it's lettering. I think it's
kind of frame. There's framing. This kind of frame it has.
I think
is
it's
similar
the,
as well.
The horror. What was it called? The three books.
The House of Horror.
Yeah, yeah. That's what it's kind of saying across.
Okay.
But I like the concept stuff at the back.
Yeah.
That like you know. That's really cool.
Yeah, that is a good. That's a nice cover. That
not in the book.
Not in the book.
Really cool.
Yeah, exactly. Just chuck it in there at the end.
Yeah.
Chuck it in the,
and right that the that's very reminiscent of Final Friday.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
So, you know, the stuff at the back's quite good. It collects all the stories.
Same with Freddy.
Yeah, and the sketches and stuff from people.
Just,
yeah, but it's shit.
It's not very good.
Am I being too harsh?
No, I agree. I don't think it's very good. I'm just trying to think of other stuff to talk about. I mean, again, like the kills I like the kills.
The kills
again,
are great.
Few and far between.
The bit where he, you know, cuts the arm off, that's cruel. You see bones, you see slash.
Just look like in comparison, like look at that page.
Yeah.
And then open a page on the Book of Freddy. Just look at the amount of dialogue. You can't see this, but look at that in comparison to that
page.
So
what have you got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. 22 speech bubbles.
And they're paragraphs, pretty much. All of them are a paragraph, almost.
13, and they're all three words.
There you go.
I remember the cowgirl.
There you go. That's it. Like, that just... And again, I think if it was split into two stories, I think that would help it, because it would have to move quicker, and it would have to get over and done with, and it would be more like a proper massacre. Like, you could have had built...
I forgot about that as well, when they wake up and they've got cuts on them.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
fight.
And blood,
yeah.
And blood and stuff and damage. And there's a bit where in the Freddy book, where the army guy and his daughter are sleeping, and they're just sat there sleeping. They're like, well, we think she murdered her friend, so just let them sleep for now. And then they come back to them, and they're covered in blood, and they're like, oh, bloody hell, they've been attacked. And they're like, how did this happen? And they're like, quick, get them to the emergency room. Go, go, go. And it's... and again, the ending of that first story of Freddy, excellent ending.
Yeah, it's good,
what
it?
A great ending.
Yeah.
I'll talk about the ending of that, so I don't have to talk about Friday for the moment. The ending is that the main girl in Friday, who's trying to fight the dreams, again, she has this connection with this little girl in the coma, and eventually they're taken into the emergency room. They're in the final fight with Freddy, and just at the end, Freddy gets the girl and kills her. The dad wakes up, obviously, next to his daughter. She's dead. He's gutted. But the little girl hints that there's something good's going to come of this. And then they're like, I'm really sorry, but you're going to have to sign this form, this donor form. And he's like, what? And it turns out that her heart is given to the little girl in the coma who is waiting for a heart. And then they meet at the graveside and they hug and have this really sweet, touching moment that, you know, even though he failed, he still succeeded in saving the little girl's life. What a great ending. Now, the ending of Jason, the ending of Friday the 13th, we've got all this set up. So there's a kind of framing device where this girl's in the hospital. She's almost catatonic. She's been missing her meds, which they're like, well, maybe you did the murder, young girl. Maybe it wasn't Jason. Maybe it was you, because you probably killed your boyfriend as well. And that's why you have all these mental issues, because you were going to break up. And then you had an accident while you were breaking up in the car, and maybe you killed him. Anyway, Jason kind of hands her... You know, she runs around naked for like 20 minutes again.
She does.
Ridiculous. No point to it. It's like she just strips off for no reason.
To go back to an early conversation a few weeks ago, her nipples are unbelievably big.
Yeah.
It makes
like
no...
Hamburger nips.
Yeah, but it's also the actual nipple itself is like
not
a
how
cigar.
You draw, it's not how you draw breasts.
It's ridiculous.
I could draw better breasts.
I would say that. And
even Lynn from Alan Partridge could draw better breasts.
But the thing is with it, if you think about the Friday the 13th movies,
yeah,
there were lots of different sizes. There were obviously not a lot of implants then and stuff.
No, it's just natural breasts.
Yeah, it's obviously a guy who likes big boobies.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with liking that, but it just doesn't add anything to the story. Because there's a bit where she murders accidentally, because she's not been taking a medication, she murders the gay Shaggy dude.
Yes.
Because he looks a bit like Shaggy as well, actually.
He does look a bit like Shaggy, with the head on.
Yeah,
right,
so she thinks he's Jason, beats him to death with the toilet lid, turns out it's him, and she panics, and she just strips off all her clothes. For no reason, and then slips in the blood and knocks herself out.
Yeah.
And then she wakes up, and then Jason gives her the machete.
We've all been there.
Yeah, of course, because we just strip off all of a sudden.
Yeah, I'm going to do it in a second.
I get maybe taking off a shirt because it's covered in blood or something, maybe, but she would still have a bra on, or she would have something, you know. It's not that fucking hot. It's middle of it's the winter, or it's autumn or something.
I don't know a lot about breasts, but I imagine if they were that big, not to have a bra on would probably hurt.
Yeah, exactly. I'm running around quite a lot like this.
My boobs aren't that big, and mine are not.
I mean, going up and down the stairs, my breasts are very sore.
So that big, I think they would struggle.
Exactly. So I think, why? Just why? Like, I get that, obviously, I think they both understand their audiences a little bit.
Yes.
Like, they understand what they need to do within these franchises. They know what they have to say and the things they need to include, but the Nightmare One does it in a better way. But anyway, the ending of Friday the 13th is that Jason comes in, killed all the hospital staff, kills a police officer. She wakes up, tries to fight him off, runs away, and then he grabs her and they walk off into the dark. Following a few days, a woman's trying to sell Camp Crystal Lake, which I actually quite enjoyed.
Yeah.
And she's like, it's lovely. It's a real deal. It's a good deal. And you're not going to reopen the camp, are you? He's like, no, we're going to do a resort and we're going to kind of inject money and jobs into the area. It's going to be a great little resort, da 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 da. And then all of a sudden, he gets an arrow through the neck. That's another reference to the first movie as well, with the arrows. He gets an arrow and I think his Adam apple comes... No, his eye comes out. And his Adam apple comes out. And he kills the other woman. But before this happens, they find the young girl with the mental problems. She's dead in the Crystal Lake, floating with no arms and head and stuff. And that's it.
Yep.
It just ends there.
Tumbleweed.
Absolute waste of an ending. Like, fair enough, if the comic was poor all the way through, if the ending was good, I'd forgive it. But it was just like, right. Just fucking kill him.
Everyone's dead.
Just fucking kill some more people.
Yeah.
Let's not have a resolution. Let's not have a character survive. Let's just have every fucker dies as well.
Yes.
Like, there's not one person that survives.
Everyone dies,
Everyone dies. The guy, the other guy, all the friends, everybody's dead in one way or another. Again, there's nothing wrong with the deaths, there's nothing wrong with the ghouls, there's nothing wrong with the killing, but fuck me, after struggling through it, and then the ending just proper fucked me off and didn't add anything else to it.
And where is he taking the bodies?
I don't know.
Is he? Why would he take the bodies with him?
Are they going underwater? Does he take them underwater?
Yeah, why is he going swimming?
I don't know. I don't understand.
I don't remember in the movies him, apart from coming out of the water because Tommy had put him in there.
He's got that little shack.
But he doesn't live in the water. No. He's not a merman.
Maybe they only saw Freddy versus Jason and was like, he's afraid of water. He's afraid of water.
But he's obviously not. He's going swimming with dead people.
And that's what never made sense about that movie to me. He's like, why is he afraid of the water? I know he drowned, but he's always swimming away, or he's been put under the lake, or he stays under the lake. So this, you know, that just jars with that even more.
I don't get it.
I don't know. It's a strange one.
Well, at least the red's on the right way.
That's true. Unless he kind of twists them round.
That is a dreadful piece of artwork at the front.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's almost. Good. I think you should take a picture of it and post it.
You give it me, and I'll post. I'll post it after we've released it, so I don't give away the ending of the podcast.
I think
we are giving away the end of the podcast. Might as well just do it, Dennis. Which book has the better writing?
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Nightmare on Elm Street. And what comic has the better art?
Nightmare on Elm Street.
And what is a better adaptation of the film franchise that it's based on?
Let me think. That's a tricky one. I'm going to have to go with something a bit different and
Okay.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Right. I feel...
So, Dan.
Yes. So I think the best writing will be Nightmare on Elm Street. Yep. The best art will be Nightmare on Elm Street. And the best adaptation will be Nightmare on Elm Street.
So we have a clear winner.
Yeah, there's no debate. There's no back and forth. Again, these books are pretty hard to get hold of. I would not recommend getting hold of Wild Storms Friday the 13th, because it is not good. It's not a good representation of that franchise. It's not fun. It's not... the art is not good. It's pretty... I don't know, I think we really talked about the art, but...
Any scene what doesn't have Jason in it...
Very bland.
...is rushed. So the murders and the Jason bits, the artwork's quite good, but everything else, it's just poor. Like I said, well, for instance, the guy's got his head on backwards, but he's not. Yeah. It's just the way that he's drawn.
Yeah.
And it's very grey and very... But it's reminiscent of the movies, I suppose. A bit grey, raining quite a lot, a bit dark, but... Yeah.
It's just not good.
No, and
it's just not good.
It's drawn by somebody who has this kind of stereotypical thing of what movie teens with boobs should look like.
Exactly.
And it's
just poor.
It doesn't work in 2000.
It looks cheap, looks tacky, and it's bland. I've seen art in that style, in that similar style, but much more detail, much more dynamism.
We have watched and read enough stuff to know even the most blandest female character can be made interesting.
Yeah.
And they don't. They just put boobs and big nips.
No. Boobs, nips, and they just think that'll entice them.
Yeah.
I don't think these books ran very long. I don't think much more. I don't know if they had any more one-offs or spin-offs or annuals or anything like that.
They lost the license, didn't they?
They did lose the license, eventually. But I think most licensed comics eventually will do that.
Yeah, I think they lost it because they didn't produce anything.
Well, there you go. And that's probably because maybe...
I think it was a nice idea.
Yeah.
The relaunch.
I would love to see more Friday the 13th comics. Not like that.
No.
And Nightmare on Elm Street. I like things that are based on another media, adapted into another media, comics or movies, vice versa.
Links in well with the relaunches of other characters and stuff. You know, and you had the Jason vs. Freddy movie. There were rumblings about Batman Jr. and other things, so it kind of makes sense to have those things. But Friday the 13th, shit.
Yeah. Again, film franchises, fun.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, so it's even more disappointing for you.
I said that to you, didn't I? Yeah. When I say it's more disappointing because I'm a massive Jason fan.
Yeah.
And for the book to be that poor is almost kicking me in the balls. It's an insult.
And I think we'll leave it there, Dennis. I think that's a good enough way to end it. Are you on the social medias at the moment still, or are you still off them?
Still off them.
Good, because it'll only fuck with your head.
They're just full of knobs.
Yeah, there's a lot of knobs
and people who do podcasts and shit.
But also, there's some really nice people on Twitter and Instagram and my Facebook. So they're all great. Those people are great.
Yeah.
Those people and the Patreons are all great. So if you want to find me, it's at Secret Boars on Facebook. Twitter, it's Dan_Boars. And Instagram is SpiderDanSecretBoars. And don't forget to use the hashtag #PrepareForPrattle. And for everything else you need to know about the podcast, swing over to SpiderDanAndTheSecretBoars.com on the World Wide Web to email me, read reviews, learn how you can support the podcast. Speaking of supporting the podcast, I'd like to thank my patrons on Patreon. I am Jax Musings, Paul Meller, Max Byrne, Tony Farina, and Scott Hodgson. And thank you for continuing your donations. It is very much appreciated and helps Prattle World keep on turning. So thank you again, guys, and keep donating, and I'll get Dennis to do his fucking job.
I should read Spider-Man, The Clone Saga.
Yeah, you will read Spider-Man.
I will read it.
We're also going to read Man-Thing.
Man-Thing.
Because it is the
50th... I'm looking forward to Man-Thing.
I think you will like Man-Thing.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Man-Thing.
I think a lot of the stories are quite short as well.
Plus, I have a giant-sized Man-Thing.
You do have a giant-sized Man-Thing. we're going to read that, and we've got a lot more kind of more comic book stuff coming up. We're going to do Clone Saga. We're going to do that, and then there's some other stuff. But those things are the next ones. So Paul, get reading. Steve Gerber's Man Thing specifically. Steve Gerber's. There's three collections on Comixology. I think there's a new one that's coming out this April or May, because Marvel are also doing a special kind of.
It's end of April, beginning of May.
There we go. Scott Weatherly on the 20th Century Geek podcast, he's going to do one on Swamp Thing. So I agreed I'd do one on Man Thing. So we're going to, you can go and listen to both, because he's a very good podcaster as well. So he's got some good stuff. I'm sure he'll have a great insight on Swamp Thing. But I've kind of done Swamp Thing before, so I don't really want to go back there. Anyway, that is the end. So we'll leave you there. Thank you again, guys. You've been wonderful. Apologies for it not being the Clone Saga, but we talked about that. And Dennis
Give
is going to stop.
Rest.
He's going to stop being a knob. He's going to stop being a knob and just read it.
I don't think I'm going to stop being a knob. I'll just read it.
I get it. Goodbye.
Goodbye.